All right, Charles, I don't know how closely you've been following the Iowa legislature. It's only a few weeks in, and I don't follow it too closely anymore. I'm kind of happy never to have to go up there, honestly.
Yeah.
But I'm very interested in the debate on eminent domain, partly because I've always – that was one of the big things I worked on up there, was trying to rein in the abuse of eminent domain. And the House, the Republican-controlled House, passed overwhelmingly a strong bill that would not that would prevent Summit – Summit Carbon Solutions from using eminent domain to build their pipeline. There were 28 no votes against passing this bill. Do you want to guess, Charles, how many of those no votes were Republican and how many were Democrats?
I don't imagine. I wouldn't think more than single digits.
20 of the 28 were Democrats.
Yeah.
So only a handful of Democrats voted for this bill, including the minority leader, who was running for Congress until a couple of days after this, she dropped out,
right.
I noticed.
Right.
But she voted for it. I mean, I'm just thinking, okay, yeah, Democrats continue to have their heads in the sand and continue to have basically a political death wish. I mean, Josh Turley was one of those Democrats that voted for the bill, one of the handful that voted for it. And he said, quote, "I proudly stand for property rights and am against eminent domain being used for corporate gain. 85% of Iowans are with us on this, and it's the right thing to do. Property rights are fundamental American rights."
So what are the Democrats offering as an alternative to this bill?
They aren't.
Then why are they voting?
They aren't.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to upset the one labor union that might benefit from some jobs, providing that those jobs mostly don't go to out-of-state union workers, which they did during the Dakota Access Pipeline construction. You could barely find an Iowa plate. One out of 10 plates at a construction site would have been from Iowa. So, I mean, they're not only seeing the big picture, they're falling for a ruse. So here's Adam Stein is one of what, five Republicans running for governor? Do you hear what he had to say? He said, eminent domain is the number one issue.
Is he the one who's going to get rid of the mRNA vaccines?
He's doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
I know they had the debate without Feenstra there, and all of them were big on. They had to talk about the vaccines, and they were as literate as,
during one of the
RFK
debates,
Jr. Yeah.
Well, he was a former Department of General Services head, I believe. He says eminent domain is the number one issue across Iowa. I agree with him. It's not number one. It's right up there. And then he said, if Republicans don't pass a ban on letting corporations use it to build pipelines, Rob Sand will be the next governor. So he's throwing down the gauntlet to the Iowa Senate, because the Iowa Senate is trying to avoid the strong House bill by passing a weak bill that seems to address
the
problem.
Is that the one that says they have to look to reroute it?
Yeah.
If possible.
Yeah. And most instructive is this. The person who's assigned to the subcommittee, who's chairing the subcommittee, Mike Bussolo, Senator Bussolo, he used to work for Summit. So I don't know how that's not a conflict of interest. Anyway, so it'll be fascinating to see what happens on this. Again, Democrats is continuing, with some exceptions, Josh Turley, for example, continuing to totally blow it when it comes to what are they going to, where are they going to stand on this issue? Anyway.
Yeah.
So you wanted to talk about the EPA because apparently they're doing some things that are not good. They're going to be ignoring health impacts when it comes to how they determine the viability of a project.
Right. The environmental impact of various projects. And, in cases that came before the Supreme Court when Scalia was still alive, on several of them, he talked about that, you do have to do risk and benefit, right? but
benefit
this EPA, has decided that, the main risk is to, and that, of course, is one of the things the EPA is, by charter, supposed to do, is to consider human health issues to environmental impacts that are created by industries that put a lot of debris into the air. And so they've decided that they're no longer going to consider the health benefits of reducing air pollution because they're uncertain.
What tiny fraction of the American people would support that?
Doesn't matter. because it's only there for one thing, which is to say it'll be cheaper for industry. Yeah. It'll make electricity cheaper. We won't have to do any of this mitigation. And that means more jobs.
Yeah.
Right. Well, see, if, you know, because if industry is just unbridled and unregulated, everything will be better. So basically they're saying that, you know, asthma, pulmonary complications, deaths now are considered a zero.
Yeah.
In terms of the risk benefit
balance. Well, and even before, they were basically valued based on their economic impact, which I find just really insulting. But well, that was better than nothing.
That's true, and because the valuation on human life is a little bit, it's a subject of controversy how you value a human life, and that's part of how you would look at something that might cause death. The other thing I love about this is that they're in particular they're talking about allowing the industries to pollute the air with a more particulate matter.
You know,
what goes on the PM 2.5 regulation. And PM 2.5 actually has been shown to be a factor, rising air pollution of particulate matter is a factor in maternal exposure in subsequent development of autism. In fact,
I thought it was Tylenol.
No, in fact, PM 2.5 probably has more impact on the rise in autism, not of course anywhere near the genetic issue. But versus vaccines, mm-hmm. Which is...
And that's demonstrable.
It's demonstrable.
Yeah.
And Tylenol, of course, is even more ludicrous.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Yeah.
Let's put a little more particulate matter in and then blame vaccines that get.
This is clearly Trump siding with the industries that helped him get elected and continue to fund his various grifts.
Well, my favorite thing about this is that the, sort of associate director who's in charge of this activity has cystic fibrosis.
Oh. Ouch.
I mean, I guess being part of the Trump administration is a suicide pact, which is that you have cystic fibrosis, you're the type of person who would benefit from the air being cleaner. Like, the other thing I question is, oligarchs breathe the air too. I mean, they're going to live in the bunker,
but they,
right. and they're going to, ultrafiltrate their air. But, I mean, they do walk outside. I don't know.
Only when they have to.
Yeah. I don't know why they think that these sorts of risks only apply to other people.
Yeah. And speaking of health, the Trump administration came out with a health care, quote, plan. It's called the Great Health Care Plan. Of course, the word great is in there.
The usual.
I know you like
I love
great.
That adjective.
Yeah.
Well, they say the first thing that tells you you have dementia is that you start is your use of adjectives.
Yeah. Well, how many hundreds of pages would you expect this plan to be, Charles?
I mean, it'd be thousands of pages. Let's face it.
Well,
an industry this big.
It's 350
words in
summary. Words.
I heard that.
Not pages.
Right.
Words.
Right.
Yeah. And there's an accompanying fact sheet that lays it out in more detail. That's 825
words. Right. Yeah. So this came about because, the concept of a health plan, which, President Trump has told us about for 10 years now, finally kind of came home to roost, which was over the controversy in terms of the subsidies for the ACA mm-hmm. policies at the end of last year. And so to try to distract and say, well, we don't need to do that because I have this great plan. This 850-word treatise came out. And, it was the usual warmed-over stuff. The big thing was, remember for a while he'd been talking about that we should just hand the money directly to people instead of a subsidy because all the subsidies do is make the health insurance companies richer.
Well, he's got a point there.
Well, except when you hand that same money to the people to buy health care insurance,
it's
the same health care companies that get richer.
But that was my concern about the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. And, the day it passed, insurance stocks shot up. And that didn't happen coincidentally. Insurance companies knew that this was a good deal for them.
It's a good deal for them. But the ACA was clearly expanded people being able to get health care.
Yeah.
It also expanded Medicaid. Remember, that was part of the ACA. And it also set some minimums for what you had to cover. It got rid of lifetime maximums and policies. It got rid of that you couldn't it wouldn't cover pre-existing conditions at all, or until the person had been a subscriber for 5 years, after which they drop you, you know, and preventive services and a lot of other things. So that's why you have to have a healthcare plan that's more than 850 words. Mm-hmm. But the point is that if you were given this money, so it was going to basically be an expansion of the health savings account. Mm-hmm. But health savings accounts are basically for people who are high tax bracket people already, because the policies that are covered or offered under HSA accounts are high deductible and high copay, right? So yes, you get a subsidy, but for the most part, the savings is to the health insurance company, mm-hmm. right? And if you give that to somebody who doesn't have much resources, and how much money were they going to give them? They'd give them a couple $1,000s? That wouldn't pay for you to have an ER visit.
Yeah.
Right?
Which says volumes.
Right. It's just totally cynical. Right.
So, I mean, my sense is that he's doing this because he knows that healthcare is an issue on enough voters' minds that something needs to be done.
But the thing is, nothing's being done.
Right. Well, there are efforts to achieve some kind of compromise in the House and Senate. But
on having the subsidies go for a little bit further along.
I thought there were some other negotiating points as well that were beyond that.
That was the main thing, which is at least so that people would know how much insurance is going to be coming this year. And then, of course, is the issue, and you were just, I'm sure as people who listen to you know, you were at the recent rally here in
the Trump rally. Yeah, Charles.
Which I believe he did tell the story again of Macron telling him he'd raise the prices of drugs.
I got thrown out so quickly I missed
all of
that.
Okay, yeah, that evidently from what I saw, that he told that story numerous times.
Just so people know why I got thrown out, I was wearing a shirt that said liar on it.
Right. Although I heard some people say you should have had on both sides of your shirt.
Well, I know, I should have, yeah.
So as you were being thrown out, they could have seen it from the front.
Exactly, yeah. I did turn toward the media as I was walking out, but the officer quickly pointed me the other direction.
Well, but he told that story about that he talked to Macron about raising the price of drugs in France so that it would be easier for us to lower the price of drugs to the newly raised price of drugs in France. And of course, Macron said he never had this discussion. I mean, the whole thing was ridiculous. But he's told that story now at least 4 different times. I don't know why. He told it at the Davos Forum.
Yeah.
And everybody was looking at him and thinking, this makes no sense. Why would you tell them to raise their prices
if
you want the lower price?